Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I'm sitting here with Leah Gilmore, cultural and political correspondent for CEM, chosen as one of 25 women shaping the world by Essence Magazine, for music and human rights work, program director of Moving Maryland Forward Network.
Yeah.
Hi, Leah.
Wow, I should be really tired, right?
All this, and that's only part of the list. So before we jump into this, I want to remind you all that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Mm. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. More information at www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org and click on their banner. Well, there's a whole lot going on. We're going to be talking with Eric Sterling in a minute about medical marijuana and why the government won't sign it. Which I think Eric's on the phone. We'll start with that. Then I want to take a few minutes to talk about what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, which is the horrendous murder of that young man, Trayvon Martin.
It is egregious. It feels like we've gone back 40 years. It really does.
And then also what's happening to women and reproductive rights in this country.
Feels like we've gone back 40 years.
Well, that could be a theme.
30 years.
Not a good theme.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a moment, though, with Eric Sterling. Eric, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hey, hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Hi, Aaron. This is Leah Gilmore.
Now, Eric is president of the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation, and part of what you've been writing about is this medical marijuana bill that's winding its way through the state legislature that some people think may be passed and signed, but the governor's threatening to veto it. So talk a bit about what is going on.
What happened was last month, the U.S. attorney in Delaware sent a letter to the governor of Delaware. The governor's legal counsel had asked for the federal perspective on the Maryland, on the Delaware law. Delaware passed a medical marijuana law last May, and Governor Josh Markell signed it. Then the letter from the U.S. attorney said that two things: state employees who conduct activities mandated by the Delaware Medical Marijuana Act are not immune from liability under the federal law. And then in the next sentence, the U.S. Attorney's Office will evaluate all potential civil and criminal enforcement actions on a case-by-case basis. What the U.S. Attorney did there was first to falsely state the federal law. The federal law actually says that all state employees who are enforcing any state law dealing with drugs such as marijuana are immune from liability under the federal law. And then in the next sentence, created the implication that he was going to prosecute state officials criminally. And so Governor Markell became very alarmed, felt that state officials might be in jeopardy, and shut down his effort to issue the regulations for the Delaware program. Then earlier this month, Governor O'Malley, responding to the fact that the Maryland General Assembly is busy trying to write a medical marijuana law, said that he would veto a bill if it came from the General Assembly because of the letter that the Delaware U.S. attorney had written. Well, I've been working in this field for more than 30 years. I know what the federal law was. I looked carefully at the U.S. attorney's letter and saw that he didn't cite any statute and didn't cite any judicial authority. And in effect, his letter's a bluff. It's just a bluff. The governor succumbed to the bluff in Delaware, and it looked like, and O'Malley was sort of going to go along with it. So this is very disturbing, and I've filed a complaint against the U.S. attorney with the Office of Professional Responsibility at the U.S. Department of Justice in Washington.
May I go? So do you think that O'Malley's position at this point is purely political, or there hasn't been enough education out there? I mean, education to him about the implications, the positive implications of medical marijuana.
I'm sorry, I was completely unable to hear what you said.
Try that one more time.
Okay, I'll say it again.
your signal is distorted at my end.
Oh, okay.
If Mark repeats it, I'm sure I could hear it.
Okay, I will promise to repeat it verbatim, okay? I was wondering if you think that O'Malley's current position is purely a political one, or do you think that he just hasn't had the right or the intense level of education on the positive effects of medical marijuana?
That's a good question, and I don't know. I've never spoken to the governor about this, and I don't know that he has a long track record in speaking about it. I suspect that he probably does not know much about the medical value of marijuana, and because if he did, I think that he would work very hard to figure out how Maryland could pass a law that would protect the thousands of patients in the state who do use it. It's very valuable for resisting the nausea and loss of appetite from cancer chemotherapy and from HIV AIDS treatments. It's very important in controlling spasticity in multiple sclerosis patients. There's a growing body of evidence that it's very helpful in dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and other depression-related issues. And around the country, there are, you know, thousands and thousands of doctors who are prescribing or recommending it for their patients because they're finding that there are good results. Now, if you only, you know, looked at sort of the news reports about California and said, oh, my gosh, you know, California looks like a situation where anybody who wants to get it can, you wouldn't understand what the real medical issues are that are involved.
And I would just say that, that here in Maryland, Delegate Dan Morheim, who's a physician, emergency room physician, who represents part of Baltimore County in the House of Delegates, has introduced this legislation, medical marijuana. And his number, by the way, is 410-841-3054, his office. And he's holding a hearing tonight in the Lower House office building with people who are using medical marijuana for just the reasons that Eric was talking about.
Right. And there are so many positive results of using medical marijuana that are documented. For instance, the governor and the legislature has been educated, and I believe Montel Williams testified before them for a number of years, the last 2 or 3 years, and he's a victim of muscular sclerosis. What I don't understand is, I mean, there's definitely abuse of all types of drugs, prescription, so-called it's illegal, whatever. But, you know, when we are in pain, when we are suffering, we can get a prescription for Vicodin. And we can also get Vicodin on the street the same type of way. So what is it the stigma associated with marijuana, I'm asking, that is making it so difficult for these politicians to understand the intense relief received by those that are using it?
Yes, you've put your finger on it exactly. This is very much about perceptions and misperceptions, many of which are now 40 years old. And certainly there are, if this had not arisen out of the, if we hadn't had the period of the counterculture, you know, 30 and 40 years ago, this wouldn't be a political controversy at all. The safety of marijuana is extremely well known. It can be addictive, but at very low rates. The addiction is not disabling the way addictions to cocaine or other stimulants can be, or to drugs like heroin or OxyContin and other opiates. It's purely its sort of cultural markers that surround this, and not an objective view of what the medical benefits are.
Well, we'll see how this pans out. We'll probably have to talk to Dan Morheim as this goes on. I'm glad you raised the issues you raised today in the Sun, Eric, and it's always good to have you on our show and that you're out there slugging away for the people.
Thank you.
Mark, thanks so much. It's a pleasure talking with you this evening.
Thanks so much.
Eric Sterling, who just joined us, president of the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation. Number here is 410-319-8888. There are a bunch of things we want to talk about before we go to break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about UB Blake for a while and his legacy and why Leah Kimmel wants to talk about him, and other people in the studio will be doing too. And I'm looking forward to that.
Leah wants to talk about him in the whole world.
What's not to love? So, but there's so many things going on that just make no sense. This 40 years theme on. Folks, join us with your thoughts at 410-319-8888. I mean, we have this madness we will be talking about tomorrow. Charles Blow, the New York Times columnist, will be joining us to talk about that. He's been writing about it for the Times.
Brilliantly.
Trayvon Martin. We're seeing the we're going to try to get on folks from the Lakeland NAACP in Florida to talk about this. But it's broader than this. The young boy who was gunned down in his bathroom by the police in New York. There's this case. Another case has popped up on Ray Winbush's site that of a young man killed in Dallas, I think, by police, again, unarmed.
It is, you know, when we have a culture, a lot of people are suffering, and the economic climate is difficult. And this is nothing to blame on anything. But I'm going to go back to Trayvon for a second because is an extremely egregious case. This young man was coming back from 7-Eleven with a bag of Skittles and an iced tea. And he met up with a man who was a so-called security person, vigilante for the neighborhood, with a 9mm gun, because that's what they can do in Florida. They can carry those. And the shooter actually has the innocence protection around him first. This is the law that they have. Here's a young man who was literally coming home from 7-Eleven, as I said, had an argument. Had no confrontation, which was viewed by another young 13-year-old boy who was suffering immensely from being a witness to this. Zimmerman, who's the shooter, called 911. 911 told him to take no action. So the next thing they hear in the neighborhood are screams, a gunshot, and then silence. This man in Sanford, Florida, which has a history of not prosecuting whites who have committed some type of violence against blacks, Zimmerman has not been arrested at all for this. And social media is blowing up. Everything's blowing up. I mean, this is a problem that goes beyond race. This is egregious. This is absolutely egregious, and it feels like a Emmett Till-esque situation in 2011. And I'm sure many of the callers feel the same way. As the mother of two young men now, I resent the fact that I have to train my young men how to walk and talk when they are around the police. They don't grow up thinking that they are the saviors, you know. They don't grow up thinking that, oh, but they'll protect us. And I have to train my young men when they go into the mall how to walk around so they won't be accused of stealing. But these are our realities. And unfortunately, this young man met with death. A very untimely, unfair, egregious death from a young man, from a 28-year-old who has yet to be prosecuted, shot with a 9mm gun.
What do you think, folks? 410-319-8888. This or any other topics we've been talking about. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We're going to spend an hour on this tomorrow night, by the way, with Charles Blow will be joining us, and folks from Florida will be joining us, and we'll look at what's how this is taking place. There have been rumors of, and I want to verify these things, of people who have been lynched in Mississippi in the last month. Some people say it was suicide. Mm. We're not. We can look at that and see what the reality is there. Your thoughts at 410-319-8888. And some report that I want to read carefully because it may not be true, but I want to read it, which said that there have been more white-on-black crimes since Barack Obama has been elected president. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Thomas in Churchville, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I want to ask the question about the medical marijuana, okay?
Sure.
A while back when we had a former mayor, Kirk Smoke, when he proposed this idea, he was demonized, for even bringing such an idea. What's the difference now?
Well, what's the difference now? I think that other places in the country have been pushing for medical marijuana. What Kurt was doing, which I supported completely when he did it.
Me too.
Which was basically kind of decriminalizing marijuana in the city, not allowing people to be prosecuted for small amounts of marijuana. And he was pilloried and vilified, and people did go after him. And he jumped right out there with it and was knocked down for doing
it. It was before California, too.
It was way before California.
Yeah, in California.
It was a bold move by Kurt at that moment.
Yeah. I purely respect him for taking that move. And, I mean, he was vilified for it. But I think California desensitized folks. But still, it's a political issue. It's a political bomb.
I mean, some people would even suggest that perhaps marijuana should just be legal and collect taxes on it. And
like the Netherlands.
Like the Netherlands. Right. And let people live their lives if you're not hurting another human being and collect the taxes on what you need. And some people think, well, you'd be kind of helping people's addictions. But then on the other hand, somebody who's going to be an addict is going to find themselves an addict, whether they're going to find something else.
There's a lot out there that you can be addicted to. You know?
Exactly. So Thomas, what do you want to answer your own question?
Well, what I want to know is marijuana one of those drugs that they consider a recreation drug?
Yes.
Okay, so I think what Mayor Smoke wanted to do was to actually take the profit out of it. Mm-hmm. If you actually take the profit out of it, then it won't be no need to actually sell it.
Well, you take the crime out of it.
Right.
You take the criminal
right.
element out of it. I mean, what medical marijuana is talking about, it's really not talking about recreation, but it's talking about immense relief for cancer victims who during chemotherapy are nauseous and can't eat, and people who suffer with muscular sclerosis and other extremely painful conditions. Medical marijuana is known to significantly decrease their pain. And that's why it's called medical marijuana, not even recreational.
Exactly. And I this is a we'll see how this comes to the fore with the state delegates, and it's on the floor, should be coming out of committee, and we'll see what we're talking about. I just want to look it up because I want to remember exactly what Kurt Schmoke did. So I was looking it up again. From this is 1995, and I remember we've done a lot of shows about this at that point. And he was just elected mayor, and he wanted to take the profit out of drugs and not arrest people for small amounts of drugs. And so he was really pilloried for that. He was way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And he was right. I mean, how many young men have we locked up, and young women have we locked up in prison for selling drugs or not committed violent crimes, whose lives have been destroyed?
Not even selling, you know.
Using.
Yeah, and who it costs more to house them in the jail, in the prison system.
Then, yeah. 410-319-8888, any of these things. The other thing that Lee and I were talking about before the other issue besides these other two things that we brought up here, what is happening to women's reproductive rights in America?
Oh,
this is
God. It has gone wacko. It has gone absolutely wacko. I mean, Arizona legislators have advanced this unprecedented bill that will require women who wish to have their contraception covered by their health insurance plans to prove to their employers that they are taking it to treat medical conditions. So the bill also makes it easier for Arizona employers to fire a woman for using birth control to prevent pregnancy despite the employer's moral objections. This, to me, is a very scary precedent. It's the employer in your bedroom. So we're going to do the same for Viagra. So before, we know that you're fixing a medical problem, but we want you to make sure that you are using Viagra for procreation only. Okay? Or your employer will not cover it.
You don't want all those old men in their 70s procreating, do you? So,
it's the unfairness of it. The fact that women, it's unbelievable what's happening. In Tennessee, they want to register names of doctors and women who receive abortion services just because, you know, it makes it, it's a shame factor to it. You know, it has really become crazy. Planned Parenthood, you know what, Mark, this statistic blew my mind. Because Planned Parenthood and NPR, remember when they were in that big NPR thing? But the budgets for the funding for Planned Parenthood and NPR combined is 0.1% of the total federal budget. So we know what this is. This is Republicans creating those wedge issues they do so well.
And the thing.
It just is. It is.
I think, did I say it wasn't? one of the things here, though, as well, is that. I mean, this is it is war against women, I think, that's taking place.
Definitely.
And there's a great bill that was put into the Ohio state legislature by this woman, Ohio. We'll look her name up. I've blocked on it right now, but she's a state delegate, state senator in Ohio, which did almost what she wanted to do. She introduced a bill saying that before insurance can cover Viagra, that men have to go to a certified sex therapist to prove they need it, get permission of their spouse, and show proof that they have a medical condition.
Okay.
So, see?
Well, that's a little bit of equitability there.
Can you imagine if men had to go through that?
Well, it's because, you know, and that's a woman who's talking about male reproductive system, and it's always men who are talking about and trying to legislate and run our reproductive lives. So I like that.
I thought you would. What do y'all think? 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. And someone called to ask if we would give the number out for Dan Mornheim. I will do that and have to look it back up on my website, but I'll get it for you. But let's go to Rob in Baltimore County. You're on the air.
Hi, Rob.
Number out for Dan Mornheim. I've been 2 minutes.
You want to turn down your phone, Rob? We can hear you.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Hi, Rob.
Yeah. Hi, Rob. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark, for entertaining my call.
Thank you.
I was calling in about responding to former mayor's most proposal to legalize small quantities, I guess, of recreational drugs such as marijuana back in 95.
Right.
And, yeah, it's true. He was years ahead of his time. And you're also right, too. California's, I guess, fairly recent, you know, approval of it, whatever, you know, legalization of it has kind of desensitized the country. But I think a lot of people fail to realize that there's a financial motive to keeping it the way it is. Everybody knows, for the most part, that it seems to be, that ever since a lot of the laws have changed, specifically with the three strikes laws and stuff like that, there have always been ways to kind of hold that over people's heads with regards to if you're caught with anything, you get that third felony, or even if you have two felonies and that third offense happens to be a misdemeanor, you're off to jail for X amount of years because of the boom in the private prison system. I just read on USA Today just last week that new contracts, and primarily seven states, of course, had agreed to basically honor some type of contractual promise with private prisons whereby they will try to maintain 90% occupancy rate. So that tells you right there what the financial motive is. So when you ask about why is it that certain states aren't legalizing marijuana, that's because the financial incentive oftentimes goes out the door if they were to do that. I strongly believe that it should be legalized because, for the most part, if you do that, you'll be able to tax it, regulate it, and hopefully control the substances that's put into it right now. That's pretty much all I have to say, and I'll take comments off the air.
Well, thank you so much, Robin. You know, there's even when we did a show on the debate on marijuana legalization once in this program a few years back, one of the people on the show from the Rosebud Lakota Reservation in South Dakota was on, and they, every year, get raided by the police because they're trying to grow hemp. Now, see, if marijuana was legal, you'd also be growing hemp. And hemp in America for years was used to make everything from paper to clothes, hats,
still
coats.
Still make clothes.
But it's illegal to do in America. So we could change a lot of dynamics here. And plus stop putting people in jail for what should be a personal choice one way or the other to start with. Maybe you don't agree. What do you think? 410-319-8888. In the time we have left in this hour, I'd love to hear your thoughts on all the things that Lee and I have been raising up with women's reproductive rights, the tragic death of Trayvon in Lakeland, not Lakeland, but Sanford. It's in Lakeland County, Florida. And the medical marijuana and the legalization of marijuana, all these things are being debated. And your thoughts on that are 410-319-8888. And the other stories were working, and some of the absurdity of laws. I'll just throw this out because it's going to be on the air in a few weeks. We were with, I was at an event the other night, and you know, some people used like to drink raw milk. Raw milk is illegal in Maryland.
Right. It can make you very sick, too.
But raw milk is probably the healthiest thing you can have if you want milk.
Okay. All right.
But we're not allowed to buy it or drink it. And a researcher was told, if you want to experiment with cocaine at Hopkins, You can. But if you experiment with gastrointestinal issues and raw milk, you'll be arrested.
Yeah, that's profound. That's profound. I'm not a proponent. You know, I'm sure it's extremely healthy. You know, I just need the education level. I'm okay with admitting that. But that's a heck of a thing.
You know?
That's a heck of a thing.
So we go back to the phones. Get a couple of calls in here before the end of the hour.
Sure,
410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's get a whole bunch of folks calling. Let's get as many as we can in here at this moment. Mm-hmm. Can we go to line one? Tell me, because I can't see. Yes, line one. Robert, you're on the air, and I can't see the other names yet. Robert, you're on the air.
Hey, Robert.
How's everybody?
Very
just well. Thank you.
I just wanted to follow up with about the tragic death of the teen girl last week. You did a really fun job covering it on your show, and I haven't heard anything since. Do you want to give us an update?
Well, you know, I've not seen anything in the press about what happened with the police officer, what's happening with those little boys who are still locked up.
Mm-hmm.
I made some calls this morning. We'll make some more this week. We all want to find out. I think this has been going
most
on.
Most definitely.
I know they have to investigate, but how much longer do we have to investigate without telling the public something here? This is, and what's going on with these two little boys who are locked up, and what's going on with the police officer who may or may not have been involved in covering this crime up? And nobody knows at this point.
That's right. It's this great mystery. And I think you're exactly right. We are due some information on this case, definitely.
So, Robert, we will follow up. Mm-hmm. 410-319-8888. Nicole, you're on the air.
I just want to say, those people in Arizona are crazy. How can anyone regulate what goes on with my vajayjay? It's my personal business. If I want to take pills, if I don't want to take pills. And plus, when you think about it, most of the legislators, as you said, are men. And most of them have mistresses. And I know those mistresses got a Norplan, they've got some birth control pills. So, hello, double standard here?
Well, there's definitely a double standard when it comes between Viagra and birth control. So, you know, I think that what's amazing is this seems to come up every 4 years just so vehemently. This year a little vehemently more. I think that currently the Republicans are taking advantage of just the general discontent that many people are feeling in the country, of the economic discontent. You know, when you feel bad about something, it's easier to slip those things in there, that crazy in there. And what Arizona is slipping in is crazy.
What there really are, and this is a show we could probably have for a whole hour, which is that I think that America is a divided nation.
Mm. Yeah, amen.
And the divide is getting thicker and deeper. And I think that it is built around race issues. It's built around issues of reproductive rights. It's issues around it's almost as if we have a nation of many tribes. And as they coalesce around these emotional issues,
there's so many layers to these issues as well, as you see who's putting them forth. Because you know, this America will never be the same. America will never not have had a African American president. America will never not have had an African American attorney general. America will never not have had Latino leaders and Latino citizens. We are not going back to what many refer to, what Rick Santorum referred to as the good old days, because the 1950s for the good old days for African Americans was apartheid. So those weren't such good old days for us or, you know, Japanese internment camps a few years earlier. So I think this is the dying of supremacy, you know, of control. And sometimes it gets worse before it gets better, before you recognize that this is the way it is going to be.
Well, I mean, this upheaval is taking place because there is a struggle going on for the soul of America and the soul of which way we're going to go as a nation. And it comes in all kinds of ways. I mean, whether it's the youth revolts and the Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy inner city neighborhoods, or whether it's unions fighting back, but you're seeing the other side is of that equation does want to hold on to pieces of the past. They don't want to see this new America come alive, and it threatens people's way of being. Look, when you have, what was the stat? That the people who voted in the Republican, Mississippi, and Alabama primaries, if you combine the numbers of people who think that Barack Obama's a Muslim and those who aren't sure, it was like 90%.
That's right. That's right. What does that tell you right there? And even if he was a Muslim, so what?
So what?
But right. But just the fact that this is what they're believing, this is what is perpetuated, because this is the propaganda they're given. On Fox News, you use code words. I have seen bumper stickers that are so offensive against our president. I mean, I have never seen a president treated this offensively, ever, you know, where things are said out loud. You know, it is really, really something.
I mean, it is. And I think that, but you know, we got to remember, we can't do it now because we got to take a break here and come back for the conversation. But let me just, the attacks on Bill Clinton, whether you agreed with him or not, were pretty severe as well.
Yeah, but they didn't say don't renege and vote for President Obama again. Okay.
You got that right.
Okay.
So the number again for people called and asked, Delegate Dan Morheim, who's holding hearings tonight at 7 p.m., who is putting in the medical marijuana bill. His number is 410-841-3054. That's 410-841-3054. And you can get to Michelle Bernstein, who is his assistant. Lee and I will be right back. We're going to switch gears and go back into history, talk about the present, the future, through the eyes, heart, and music of UB Blake.
Yeah.